Good morning. Like you said, my name's Ingram. I'm the student ministry director here. I recommend if your student doesn't come to movement, bring them out. I'm the one that sends the kids back home on a Wednesday night loaded up with sugar, so blame me for that. So today we are continuing our gospel series. So just pretend I'm Pastor Brent today. So he's talked about the first three letters, G, O, and S. God created us to be with him. O is our sins separate us from God. And S is sin itself, that nothing we can do can fix that sin. So today we're going to talk about P, which is pain. And Pastor Brent was joking with me saying, you have the easy sermon to talk about. And I'm going through this and I'm like, this is actually very complex. Because we're going to talk about what Jesus did on the cross and why he did it and what does it mean for us. So before we get into it, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you again for giving me this opportunity to speak. I pray that you give me clarity, that your word comes to life, and that we take it to heart, that when we leave changed. And we thank you for what you're doing in your name. Amen. So, pain. Jesus paid for our sins. When you think about that, you got to remember, we cannot pay for our debt. There's nothing we can do to pay God for our sins. So what God did, he made a way. And the way was Jesus Christ. So, there's a lot of scripture to get into, so we're going to start right into Isaiah 53, verse 5 to 6. So I told the first service, I'm from Trinidad, and I grew up in Boston. So I have an accent that comes out when I read. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, just read the screen. Okay, so Isaiah 53, verses 5 to 6. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we can be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. When you read that verse, sometimes I like when I read the Bible is ask why. Like, why that happened? Like, why did God, a perfect being who's holy and loving, have to send his son to die for me? Why? Why did he have to do that? Because sin requires a payment. And the payment for sin is death. See, God is not just going to just wave his magic hand and just forgive you. That's not how it works. He knows there has to be a payment for sin. A price had to be paid. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. When you read that, it kind of makes you think, that's a big thing. Like, why does blood have to be shed to be forgiven for sin? Well, the reason is God is looking for justice. He demands justice, just like we do. Like, for instance, I love the Avengers. And every time I watch the Endgame, I always wait for Thanos to get what he deserved. I'm like, yes, justice. Or like when you're on I-4 and somebody cuts you off and is in traffic and they're cutting off everybody else. And you're like, where are you going? There's nowhere to go. And they get pulled over and you pass them. You're like, yes, justice. God requires justice. But he requires it in a grander way. Bigger way, because there is sin. So his justice is, well, blood has to be shed. And it says, you know, it's a price to be paid in blood. So Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. Now this is a long verse, so if you don't understand, like I said, read the screen. Okay, but when the Messiah arrived, high priest of the superior things of the new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings in this created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place, once and for all. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. If that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives, instead, inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God. Like when I read that verse, it always sticks out to me, dead end efforts. I grew up always wanting to be respectable. I grew up in church and everything. So I was doing all these things to make sure I'm presentable and respectable to God, but God's just saying, it's a dead-end effort. You're never going to be respectable to me. But through Jesus Christ, You are. So you have freedom to know that you don't have to worry about your dead-end efforts. Nothing you can do can fix that. But through the blood of Christ, you are respectable and acceptable to me. You know, Jesus' payment is one and done. He did it, he died, and that's it. There's a reason why he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. There's never going to be another payment. Not 5 years later, you're going to sin, and God's going to be like, that sin that did not die for us, so you're going to have to pay for that. No, it's done. It says, it's once is enough. As a human, he can die for other humans. As God, his payment for sin was infinite. When I read that, and I tell the students all the time, you will never have to make that payment. God will never require you to pay for your sins. If you understand that, you gotta remember, Jesus died for you. So you don't have to make that payment. And that payment is physical and spiritual death, total separation from God. Jesus took that on him, so you and I will never have to face that. Can you imagine having God turn his back on you? You're crying out, Father, where are you? And he turns away and not look at you. There's a reason why he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am for you, not against you. Because his son took that payment for us. That is the gospel. That is what we want to share to people. Jesus died for you, so you don't have to face that at the end. It says in Hebrews 9, 24 to 28, for Christ did not enter a holy place made by hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as a high priest entering the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the age, he has been revealed to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it's destined for people to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ also have been offered once to bear the sins for many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. He died once, and that was it. He died for you, so you don't have to pay that payment. We don't longer have to sacrifice animals year after year. Can you imagine having to do that for God to forgive you? You have to sacrifice a goat or a calf every year in a year? Where are you going to find a goat in Florida to sacrifice? Like, we don't have to do that anymore. Jesus died for you so you can have freedom, and his payment is permanent. Now, why did that happen? Why would God have to let that happen? Because, see, God is not just loving. He is just and loving. Because he is a righteous judge, true and holy, he must punish sin. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. There's a price to pay for sin, which is death. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. It's at the cross that the payment for sin and for death was completed. It's at the cross where God's love and justice collided. It's at the cross where that payment that you deserve was paid for. And that means me, as a sinner and a wretch of a person, who is a sinner and a wretch of a man, can go before God boldly because I put my faith in his son. If I accept Christ and I believe he is the son of God and I believe he died and rose again, because of that, I can go before God in my sin and in my filth. Because he says, my son makes you acceptable to me. And because you accept my son, you are now adopted into my family and you are also my son. That is what the gospel is about. God made a way for us to go to heaven. Because the only person that can do it was Jesus Christ. Sin cannot cancel sin. It had to be something perfect. There was a price that also had to be paid with love. You know the scripture, John 3:16? It's a pretty popular verse and becomes kind of watered down sometimes and just kind of throws it out there, but it's probably, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to die for us. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Simple statement, but so much complexity in it. So if you understand that, if I have faith in Christ, then I have eternal life. But it came with a cost. See, God's love led to action. He led to giving up his son for you. God doesn't just say, I love you. He shows it. And he showed it by sending his son to die for us. See, something had to replace sin. An exchange had to be made. For instance, I have this phone. It's an LG Velvet. It has two screens. That's why I like it. It cost about $950 when I got it. So I take this phone very carefully. It's precious to me because it's very expensive, and I like that I have two screens. But what if I came up to you and just said, hey, I'm going to give you my phone, but just give me the dirt on your shoe or the lint in your pocket. Or give me the gum that you have in your mouth. Just give me that, and you can take my phone. My $950 phone, I'll exchange it for the worthless gum that you have in your mouth. That's a bad exchange, right? Or if I say, give me your lame iPhone, and you can take my phone, because Android is better than iPhone, so that's what I'll say. But it's kind of like what God did, but in a bigger way. He took his son and put it in place for our sin, because we had nothing of worth to give to God. If we did, Jesus would never have to die on the cross. And there will need to be no gospel because we've all been worthy, but we all have fallen short. We all sin every single day. But he took his son and gave it in exchange for us. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The fact is, we cannot get to heaven on our own. It's only by Jesus Christ that we can get to heaven. It's in 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, there's one God, and there's one mediator to God, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no one else that can get you to heaven except through Jesus Christ, because he was the only one that paid for you and paid for me. And that's why we share the gospel, because there's no other way. There's one person who can do it, because he's the one that sacrificed for you. The reality is this: a price had to be paid, an exchange had to be made, but more importantly, a victory had to be displayed. Without the victory of the cross and the victory of the resurrection, there's no gospel. There's no forgiveness of sins. There's no salvation. If Jesus just died on the cross and that was it, it would have been a cool story to say of some guy dying for his people. Of a sad story of some guy dying who was innocent. But the fact that he rose again and is still alive today, we have salvation. And we have forgiveness of sin. Now, the victory of the cross is a powerful thing if you think about it. It says in Colossians 2:13-15, when you were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ. And he forgave all your sins. He canceled the death which listed in the rules we failed to follow. He took away the record with these rules and nailed it to the cross. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Jesus died on the cross, and every nail that was hammered into his hands or his feet was God canceling your debt. God erasing those sins, erasing those bad decisions, erasing those hurtful things in your life. Every nail hammered was canceling your debt. So what's the victories for us? First is, now we were made alive. God brought us from death to life. Secondly, we are forgiven. Our sins are completely canceled. Our debt is canceled. Now, if there's a victory and a victor, there had to be a loser. And the loser is Satan. You see, on the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross, Satan lost big. And the first one he lost was he's no longer going to accuse you of anything. No, he likes to accuse you. He likes to hold the rules over your head and say, you're messing up. You're making mistakes. You're always going to sin. God is never going to forgive you. But because Jesus died on the cross on that day, he canceled that debt and told Satan, no. So like literally he just went up and drop-kicked the devil in the face and said, enough is enough. He canceled the debt. And Satan has nothing against you. Secondly, Satan lost big on the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have salvation. Because of the resurrection and Jesus is alive, now our faith is real. Our faith is fulfilled because we know the God that we believe in still lives today. It says in Acts 2:24, it will not be on the screen, but God released him from the honors of death, from the horrors of death, and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grips. That is the victory of the resurrection. Because without Jesus suffering on the cross, and without him raising from the dead, we have no way to pay that debt to God. Jesus made the way. And there's only one way. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:16, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Because Jesus lives, you and I have salvation. Because Jesus lives, you and I have freedom. Because he lives, you and I have peace. We can find joy. We can find hope because he lives. He is the one that can save. You know, the truth is, there's no bondage on earth like the bondage of the soul. If you're trapped in a car, they can use the jaws of life to take you out of that car. Pry open that door and pull you out. But if you're trapped in your mind, in depression, in the endless cycle of addiction, no jaws of life can save you. If you're held hostage in a bank or in a store, we have the SWAT team that come and rescue you and take down the criminals. But if you're held hostage by the devil, hostage by your own sin, by shame and guilt and fear and anger, hostage by the devices of your own flesh, no SWAT team can save you. But there's good news. That is the gospel. There's good news. Only one can save. He is the only one that can do it. There's no one before him, there's no one like him now, and there will be no one after him. He is Jesus Christ, and he's the only way that you and I can have salvation. Because the reality is this, without God giving up his son, you and I will never experience the love that he has for you. Love takes action. And the same for the gospel. The gospel requires an action. Because I can tell you all about Jesus Christ, but if you don't act on it, that doesn't mean anything. It's just a story you just heard. You have to act on the gospel. I have to act on the gospel. I have to give my faith in Jesus. So I want you to think about this. If you're sitting here today and you listen to everything they've talked about the last few weeks and how God created us to be in a relationship with him and our sins messed it up and separated us from God, and our sins, we cannot fix it on our own, for God made a way by sending his son, I encourage you to give your life to him. Because he is the only one that can save you. The reality is this. Redemption and salvation is now. Now, there's a song by Switchfoot that says, salvation is where you fell. If you think you're falling down and you're in sin, God is still with you. He's always right there. He's just waiting for you to reach out and ask him to forgive you and to pick you up and say, now you are my son and you are my daughter. But it requires an action from us. And even for this one, and I put myself in this category, we may have faith in Christ, and we know he's real, and we trust him, but yet we walk around with all this baggage and this bondage and this hurt. And he's saying, I died for that. He didn't just die for your sins. The Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. And that doesn't mean physical healing only. It's spiritual, mental, and emotional healing. He died for those hurts that you hold on to, those pain that you're holding on to. Maybe you have a bad memory of something you did or someone did to you. He says, give it to me because I died for that. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Because it's at the cross you find the freedom and the peace and the joy that you need because Jesus canceled that debt and took that to heal you. But he requires you to give it to him. And he says, take his yoke because his yoke is light. So right now I want to pray. I ask that you stand with me. But I want you to think about, are you holding on to something that God is saying, let it go. I died for you for this. Give it to me so you can have the true freedom and the fulfilled life and the eternal life that I called you to have. So please stand with me as we pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. I thank you for sending a son to die for our sins. I thank you for sending a son to die for me. That I can come to you in faith in Jesus Christ and be accepted by you. And God, I pray for anyone here that they are in the moment that they should give their life to you. I pray that you speak to them and you reveal to them that you are real. And I pray that they give their life to you and accept you as the Lord and Savior of their life, the one who died for them and the one who can forgive them of their sins and give them salvation. I pray that you speak to them. And God, I pray for us that just holding on to whatever baggage or bondage that keeps us down, whatever chains we are dragging on our feet, even though we have faith in you and we know the gospel is true and real, but yet we still hold on to it. I pray that you give us the courage and the strength to lay it down at the cross, to give it to you, because that is what you came to do, to free us of all these things that we hold on to. Help us to live that fulfilled and that free life that you call us to live. And God, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for them. I thank you for the plans that you have for them. For I know it's a good plan. And God, I pray wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever they touch, they will be blessed. And no weapons formed against them shall prosper. And no accusations against them shall prosper. They will fall short because you died. And because you died for us, we are free and we have freedom and forgiveness of sin. God, I pray that you continue to speak to us. Continue to remind us daily that you are alive and you are real and you are for us and you will never be against us. And I thank you for what you're doing. In your holy, precious name. The name above all names. Jesus Christ. Amen.